Church, praise the Lord that we are sending people out into the field and they are serving not just as a career but as a life commitment. Praise the Lord. I remember when I was young, 1969, just 2 months after May 13th, I was rushing to a house, you know. There's one house in the kampong that has one TV. And that TV is a black and white TV. I was rushing to the house, and when I reached the house, there were crowds of people at the house. The doorway jam-packed with people, the windows also were filled with people, and I managed to squeeze myself. I was 11 years old. Then you can calculate now how old I am. I squeezed myself into a position so that I can watch through the window. And you know what it was showing? What the TV was showing? The landing of Apollo 11 on the surface of the moon. It was telecast live. And it was a black and white images. And during that time, signal wasn't so good. And every now and then, you know, the screen will go blank. Then you come back and you go off, you come back and you go off. Yeah. Apollo 11 was the spacecraft that first landed humans on the moon. And we have Commander Neil Armstrong. You know this name? Yeah, very popular. Neil Armstrong and the lunar module piloted by Buzz Aldrin. And both of them landed the Apollo lunar module called the Eagle. It was called the Eagle on July the 20th, 1969, 2 months after May 13th. Okay, I don't know whether you are old enough to know what is May 13th. They landed on the lunar surface on a place called Tranquility Base. It was a bit flat on that place. It was the first time that a moon landing was taking place. And Armstrong became the first person to step on the lunar surface. And later, Aldrin also came and joined him. And together, they spent 2.25 hours on the surface of the moon, collecting samples, and at the same time, jumping around like small kids, trying out the gravity that was lower than the Earth. And there was this man by the name of Michael Collins. And this was the module that was circulating the orbit of the moon. And he was there alone waiting for them, waiting to pick the two person up from the module Eagle. And he was waiting, circulating the moon. And it was a successful mission, you know. After that, when we had talked to some of those neighbors during that time, communist mindset, traditional mindset, all kinds of people, hey, they say bluff one, that one's a show, not real, you know. They couldn't believe that man can land on the moon. And they didn't believe in that, that there is such an achievement. A successful mission like that was a fantastic achievement. Even Armstrong himself say, a small step for man, but a huge step for humanity. Yeah, I think so. It was a great achievement for man, but it can go wrong at any time and anywhere. Of course, today's technology was different from during that time. We only have black and white TV, you know. And that technology is only up to that level. And anything and any time can go wrong, and the three men may not come back. And there is no rescue plan. How you would like to volunteer to go to the moon without a rescue plan? But they went. It was very dangerous and difficult, but it was successful. It was successful. It was a great achievement. The story I want to preach this morning is similar. Millions of slaves left Egypt. One night, and the superpower of Egypt was shaken. And in every household, there was death. Every Egyptian household, the firstborn child died smite by the angel of the Lord. Even the cattle and the animals, the firstborn died because of God's judgment on Egypt. Pharaoh was brought to his knees. The exodus has begun. It was impossible. It was hard to imagine, yet it happened. 3 million slaves, 3 million workforce from Malaysia left and go to Thailand. Your mate left you. Open your back door and disappear. 3 million of them is going to be shaken, all right? So Egypt was shaken. And not only was it shaken, there is death in every Egyptian house. God was pouring out his judgment. It was really a shakening time. As successful as Apollo 11 landing on the moon, everything went on so well, so was the incident of the Exodus. Impossible, very hard to happen, one in a million chance, and yet it took place. It happened. And so this morning, I want to preach on the servant leadership of Moses. And I want to unpack for us how Moses was able to lead the people to the promised land and the experience they had to go through to reach that place. Now, that was an extraordinary feat to take approximately from 1 to 3 million people out from Egypt, 1 to 3 million slave workforce out from Egypt, stay alive in the wilderness, stay alive in the desert for 40 years, and enter into Canaan to live there, to live in that land, to chase out all the idolatrous inhabitants, to take over the land that is flowing with milk and honey. It was a feat never to happen again. And they pulled it off. And they pulled it off. It took a great leader to be able to do this event. 3 million people, 1 to 3 million, let's put it this way, do not exactly know how many, how to organize. There was many leadership principles to gather from this piece of history. But I just want to choose a few of these and highlight this morning. And a message title is The Servant Leadership of Moses. And I want to preach from Exodus chapter 3, from verse 4 to verse 22. Exodus chapter 3. Let's turn to our Bibles. And I want to read from verse 4 onwards so that we can have an idea of this event. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses here. Moses said, "Here am I. Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At these, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed heard the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelite has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelite, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelite out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelite. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelite, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God, your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptian with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptian favorably disposed towards these people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you would plunder the Egyptians. Let us pray. Father, take this word now and plant in our hearts, that even as we consider it, Lord, that we may hear your word, Lord, we may hear it well, and the Lord, that we may apply it unto ourselves, that we may be leaders for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how was Moses able to lead the people into the promised land? First of all, about his commitment. His commitment. So as we read here in chapter 3, in the conversation between God and Moses, and we find that Moses was obstinate. He was really stubborn. He wasn't willing to do the assignment, even though it was coming from God. Even though it was given by God Almighty, he was not willing to do it. God promised it was a great job. Let's put it this way. It was really a frightening and a very hard job. God promised he will be there with him to confront Pharaoh. Pharaoh at that time is one of the superpower. And he's going to go there and tell Pharaoh to let the people get out. After all the discussion and the signs that God gave him, he was still reluctant to do it. He was still reluctant to take on the assignment. God was angry with him. God was actually angry with Moses. The question to ask is why Moses didn't want to obey God to go and see Pharaoh. Moses has an encounter with God at the burning bush. He saw the miraculous display of power of God, but he was not willing to go. Why? Was God too small to him? Was it too small, too powerless for him? Or was the assignment too overwhelming that Moses was afraid? Or was Pharaoh too big a king to go and see? Well, I think all this happened in his mind. And I find that the answer is Moses was too inward-looking. Moses was too inward-looking, and God has to take him out of his shell. His past experience trying to do something good shackled him, and he could not get out from that position. He has to accept his failure and let God work through him. Moses started as a great man, prince of Egypt, grew up in the palace of Pharaoh. Definitely, I think he would know that Pharaoh as well. Okay, he would have done all the naughty things as young men would do. He knows the in and out. And after that, when he was trying to help somebody, he has to run for his life. And for 40 years, he was fearing for his life that the Pharaoh would send somebody to catch him and bring him back and to kill him because he committed a crime of killing somebody. He was hiding in the desert. And what did he do for the 40 years? Taking care of sheep. Not kambing. Just now Lao Tiong Sing told me kambing. Not kambing. Biri biri. Taking care of sheep. Simple life occupation during that time. He was possibly also under depression. But he has to get out of his shell, and God took him out. And I want to bring us to the point here. After he was willing to go, from such a long rejection, the process that went on to such commitment must be something we can take home with this morning. And I believe that after Moses gave in to God, he stuck with his commitment. He stuck with his commitment all the way for the next 40 years. He stuck with it. In the story, he encountered so many challenges that many would have given up and returned back to Egypt. I know some of you have staff in your office. Some of you are HR people. Some of you are bosses. All right? You have from 10, 20, or maybe 200 staff. And you know the trouble that staff problem can be. Moses has 1 to 3 million people. But he kept to that commitment. He kept to the commitment. He stuck with it. And many times we are like that, you know. We are unwilling to do more, even though we heard it from God and we know it is the right thing for us to do. Knowing what God desires for us, we are still reluctant. We all know that God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the master of everything. And everything belongs to Him. And yet, for many times, we are not fully want to comply to what He desires for us. We still want to indulge in our selfish habits. Just like Moses before he came out from his shell. And now that he has come out from his shell, Moses hung on to that commitment for 40 years. And I believe he said to himself, once he picked up that commitment, he is not going to change his mind, and he's going to stick with it, and he's going to finish it. His commitment was long and unwavering. And this is a leadership principle that we can pick up from Moses. Leadership requires us to stay the course in the face of uncertainty and challenges. It's very easy to run. If assignment is easy, then there is no need for leadership. No need to lead. The bigger the challenge, then we need leadership. Therefore, the main thing about leadership is commitment, like Moses made. When we take up leadership in church, we stay and finish strong. We stay and finish strong. That we are not going to half commit. We are not going to commit only when it's convenient. When we take up position, you know, simply saying, die also must finish. Die also must complete the task. This is something for us, many of us, as cell leaders, as board members, as departmental leaders, that we need to consider and to make commitment on our part. Many of you leaders, sometimes we half commit. Sometimes we commit only when necessary. And we fail to finish strong. Okay? If we can commit like Moses, it will have great impact in what we are doing. We cannot shine for God with this type of half-commitment kind of a thing. You know, and I believe that many of you also know that, okay, to have something really impactful, you really need to put your heart and soul into it. And once we take up leadership, we must finish strong in the Lord. So Moses was committed to the call. Secondly, how was Moses able to lead the people in the promised land? It's his faithfulness. His faithfulness. His leadership was challenged many times. Was challenged many times. And leadership would always face challenges, one. If you are alone, no problem. When you are two person, the person will question you sometimes. If you are three person, more question. If you got cell group, more question. Right? If you are company, more question. They even threaten you, even call strikes. They report you to the government and all this kind of stuff. Moses was challenged from the beginning to the end. Wow. You know what they challenged him was? They grumble. They grumble for water. They grumble for food. I mean, for us, we'll say that this is fair enough. Lah. This is life, you know. They grumble for food. They grumble for water. And what was actually it is that they are grumbling. They are grumbling for sustenance. For existence. You know the God who called them out from Egypt with all signs and miracles and wonders, did they not think that God is able to provide for their sustenance? For 40 years, Bible records for us, even their clothes did not wear out. Wow, this one better than Pardini, man. 40 years, no. Still new, no. Wow. Sandals never worn out. God, I've got such shoe. Walk in the desert, 40 years never worn out. That's what the Bible record for us. God provided, sustained them. And then there were also enemy attack, you know. Enemy attack, the Amalekites attacked them. And here, Moses has to pray and seek God and ask God. And for what? For protection as well. You know, these guys were all slaves in Egypt. The only weapon or any tool that they know to carry maybe is the trowel, the chanko, you know, the sticks. They are not fighters. They are not soldiers. And they are being attacked by the enemies. There's no training for warfare. When God gave the signal, leave. So they all chabot, all go. And I think that nobody even brought their trowel with them. How are they going to fight enemies? And then there are times that because of the great number of people, okay, they complained and Moses was overworked and overwhelmed. Okay, you have to go and organize the people because of so many people. You need to really satisfy the complaint of the people and help them. And this is really very exhausting. And of course, we thank God that his father-in-law came, saw it, and gave him advice on how to do it. And then there is also the idolatrous tendency. When Moses went up to the mountain to meet with God, and there down at below the mountain, these people start turning back to idols worship. Hey yo, like that also what? It happened. After seeing the miraculous thing and the power of God, the fire of God, after hearing the crossing of the Red Sea, the experiences that they have, they still want to turn back to idols. And these are the complaints that Moses have to face up with. When it is God's calling, there will be enough to survive and thrive. To survive and thrive. Moses remained and faced all of those challenges and he overcame. And he overcame. Not many people can withstand this demand of leadership. On analyzing human problems, it is found that problems come and problems go. Problems come and problems go, and they are not permanent. They are not permanent. We are either going into a problem, we are either inside a problem now, or we are getting out of a problem. So when we are able to recognize this, we have added strength to withstand the onslaught of problem at any stage. Because we understand that problem never remain. It is not permanent. Unwanted or overreaction will make the problem worse, will add to that problem. We must remain calm and composed and let time do some rectification. You know, I heard and I read some leadership gurus have said that patience and time can resolve many problems. Patience and time can resolve many problems. Some of these things that you don't even need to do, you just let it sit for a while. It can resolve at times. As pastors, I have been learning and relearning this lesson of letting patience and time take its course. There are many moments I have to control my emotions, not to react. Sometimes you get stirred up. Sometimes I have to control myself. If not, then when you react, there will be many mistakes that we will make. You know, at any moment when we are emotional, we are to hold back and to calm down. Hold back and calm down. I think counting 1 to 10 is too short now. We need to leave it for a day or two. Husband and wife, when you have a tiff, don't react. When you react, you say the wrong thing. You get the whole situation worse. You let it take its time, a day or two. Sometimes you have cold shoulders. Some of you have a silent war. Keep it for a day or two. When things begin to clear up and you are able to address the issue, you are able to think clearer, see clearer. All those of you who are married for some time, you know what I'm saying. Rather than react, sometimes we add to the problem. Then we can think clear, right? Rather than display the old ugly self that we have in the past, that we have not been allowing God to renew us. He also stayed on the job. Many people will quit. Many people quit when the pressure is intense, when the pressure is so high. But Moses stayed on the job. The Israelites were ready to turn back at any sign of trouble. They were ready to turn back at any sign of trouble, but Moses encouraged them on. Moses encouraged them, speak to them. The problem and challenges did not stop happening, but he remained to face them. There will still be future problems that will crop up that will come against him. But he remained on the job, but because God has promised, he will be with him. Moses hang on to that promise of God. And so, it come back to us. When God has promised us, he will be with us. We should have no fear. In the Great Commission, Matthew commanded us to go make disciples and said, lo, I will be with you. Would that be enough for us like it was for Moses? He promised Moses and today he promised us. And Moses has many personal encounters with God, and so he was confident that God will not abandon him when the trouble comes. And I know that God will not abandon us when our trouble comes. As was said of the people, they came out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. But Moses was determined to go forward. He was determined to go on. So we need to count our blessings. We used to sing the song, Count Our Blessings, and name them one by one. It's when we count this blessing, we get encouraged ourselves. We remember what God has done for us. Without counting our blessings, many times we will be so engrossed in our problem, we forget that God has promised us. All of us will have problems. Bible already told us that man is born into trouble. Yeah. Even you live quietly by yourself, don't disturb people, you will also have trouble. That cannot escape. Right? But God has promised that He will be with you. Determination is a necessity in leadership. Leaders who keep changing strategy, keep changing methods every now and then, will not know which worked best, since there was not enough time given to prove which one works. So you need to stay for a while. If there was success, it may be by chance, not by principle. And I know that many cell leaders have served many years and are ready to quit. But good leaders don't quit. Good leaders don't quit. Only two. Good leaders don't quit. Yep. Good leaders don't quit. They find motivation and solution to address the issue. As God stands by you, you can be confident that you will find solution to whatever that you are facing. I was taught that followers need motivation, but leaders motivate themselves to stay on the job. Followers always need motivation, but leaders find their own motivation to stay on the job. So leaders of Subang Jaya, go get your inspiration from your daily encounter with God in your devotion. Uncle Moses got so much fire from God that he didn't think about quitting until the end. Actually, he didn't quit, you know. God called him to quit. God took him to the mountain, see the place, and take him away. He didn't want to quit, you know. He still wanted to go. But it was God who gave him an expiry date and took him home. The promise of God's presence is still with us, just as Moses overcame, we can also overcome. Yeah. And thirdly, how did Moses able to lead the people to the promised land? It was his humility. And it is one thing that we have to address. He pleaded for the people in one event. One of the greatness of Moses was his humility. And even the Bible acknowledged that Moses was the meekest man on earth. Even though the people brought him troubles for the smallest thing, he did not fight them. Moses did not fight them. He recognized that it was tough for the people as well. And they were reacting because of the harsh environment that they have to exist in. They saw the power and the majesty of God and wonder they were still faithless in God. Moses was still okay with that. He can still bear with them. Moses understood that. And so he was able to bear with them and not allow God to kill them. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 9. Exodus 32, 9. God said to Moses that he can raise up a new generation of people, even out of the rocks, to enter into the promised land to accomplish his purpose. But Moses pleaded on the people's behalf, and God listened to Moses and did not kill the people. God has sent the angel of death into Egypt and killed the firstborn of the land. And God could have done the same to this 1 to 3 million Jewish people in the desert. He could have done that. But Moses pleaded with God not to kill them. Moses pleaded with God, you know, great things. Great things happen. God listened to Moses and did not kill them. Well, I was thinking, Moses was so self-sacrificing that even God have to listen to his magnanimous reasoning. Moses was really a great leader of the people. Many times when you don't know, you thought that it was so simple, but you don't know some of the people that bear. Some people bear on your behalf all the troubles. We heard testimony, and we heard people who gone for meeting, who kena left and right just for you. And we didn't know about it. Moses was like that. He pleaded for the people. When we are challenged as leaders, we can be very woke up. We can be very disturbed. We can get so disturbed and have murderous thoughts at times. God, murderous thoughts. Just like God wants to kill them, you also want to kill them. If this happened, it's only a shortcut to solving problems. And we are no better off than terrorists. Right or not? For a slight little confrontation, we want to kill people. Oh, yay. That is coming from Middle East, not from leaders of Subang Jaya Assembly. Leaders are to lead and not to terrorize people. And Moses had that had his weakness as well. But yet he was humble enough to serve the people until his end. And he didn't fight the people. He allowed time to work its course, and all the faithless people die off. People are people, they are all one kind. It's true. They are all one kind because there is no double. You are one kind. But leaders must be humble enough to love people because there is only one. There's only one, there is no double. Huh? And to serve them, leaders must have patience and have good thoughts, even for bad people. We must have developed good thoughts, even for bad people. This is so that we remain humble before God. And Moses was a prime example of humility. And he stood in the gap. He stood in the gap for the people. Moses reasoned, reminded, he prayed, he interceded on behalf of the people. And he also stood on behalf of God to the people. He was in between. He pleaded on their behalf so that God will do what he promised to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. To the people there that they may have it. And for the people to follow God's commandment. And all those troubles that Moses went through in the mountain to receive the instruction from God, how to build a tabernacle and all the details. He went through all the trouble so that he can represent God to people. And at the same time, he pleaded and he prayed for the people to God for mercy. You know, Moses is like Jesus Christ. He was the precursor. He stood in between God and man. And Moses did that. Jesus stood for our sins. He stood between man and God. And he died on the cross on our behalf. And Moses was a similar person. And I see the greatness of Moses and trust that we can be like him in our practice of our leadership. Humble for people and for God. Standing in the gap. Leadership humility will carry us far in our ministry, in what we do. With humility, we are allowing people, we are allowing ourselves to learn from people. That extra learning that we gather from people will be able to be useful when there is time of need. When we are humble, we tend to be more approachable. More approachable, and people are willing and comfortable to allow us to speak into their life. You know, by yourself, you think this is right, this is wrong. But somebody from outside is able to input better ideas and better understanding of your situation. So if we are not humble, we will not listen. And if we learn humility, we will learn the extra skill of allowing people to speak into the life, and we make less mistakes. And we are able to do better. So when we are humble and approachable, people will like us. Others will also come to learn and hear from us what we have to share. Most people respond well to humble personality, whereas pride turns people away and become non-effective in whatever things that they are doing. We as leaders are humble personalities to serve God and men. And leadership humility also receive God's favor. And I believe that all of us wants to receive God's favor. As opposed to being proud, God give grace to the humble. Extra grace to the humble. We will not be fighting to keep our position in life, but we will receive grace to live our life. We will not be fighting that, but we will receive grace. God will look on us and will be gracious and help us to surmount issues so that our faith in Him becomes tangible, so that the problems that we face is able to be resolved, and people will see us that we are actually receiving favor from above, and they will have confidence in the God that we serve, and they will want to hear more about that. And this can become very attractive, and it can be a tool for evangelism to share the love of God and the goodness of God. So be humble and receive the grace from God, and be willing to gap for others. Be willing to gap for others. Alright? And fourthly, how was Moses able to lead the people to the promised land? Is he was doing inspirational mentoring. Mentoring people. He raised up others to come along to share his responsibility. You know, he had Aaron with him. He had Miriam with him. He had Caleb with him. He had Joshua with him. And he also had the elders of Israel with him. And all these are hand-on assistant to Moses. And as he lived out his mission, others were catching the vision that God has given to him. Moses was living out that mission. And all those people that were around him were seeing that. And they were moved along with him. They were catching the vision that God gave him. They were convinced and came along to serve the living God. The vision of the promised land flowing with milk and honey was good enough to die for. Because previously, they were all slaves in Egypt. They got no hope. And now Moses came, painted to them the picture of the land flowing in milk and honey, sending the spies, even though two came back with positive answer. It is good enough for the leaders. Of course, it wasn't good enough for the people, but it was good enough for the leaders. And they saw it. They were all formerly slaves, without hope one anyway. The leaders fervently followed Moses and supported him all the way. His legacy lasted even until today. Even until today. The present day Israelites still have high regard for Moses as they take him as one of their prophets. Moses raised up strong followers. You know, it was John Maxwell who said that he who thinks that he leads but has no followers is only taking a walk. He who thinks he leads but has no followers is only taking a walk. A well-communicated vision is contagious. Well-communicated is contagious. Moses was so immersed in it that others around were equally inspired. The passion was transferred over to the next gen. To the next in line. Joshua possessed the same vision of Moses, and the baton passed seamlessly to him. He was as convinced as Moses. He was as faithful as Moses. He was as bold as Moses. And he was as sold out as Moses. He went along. The things he saw God working out in Moses were also working out in his life. And the vision passed on to him. Same with the example of Elijah and Elijah. Huh? The passion just passed on. And so leaders of the church, it is incumbent of us to inspire another. To inspire another. And to set the stage for them to follow and to take over after us. To pass on legacy, we have to have followers. Otherwise, who are we passing on? And so it is high time for us to raise up our next gen, to pass the baton to them. This is intentional, and we need to start with someone and start it soon enough. And how will we inspire others to follow us? It is to live our life with passion for God. The way that Moses lived his life with passion for God. He was not shaken. He was challenged, but he did not back down. He faced difficulties. He pressed on. Just hanging on to the promise that God will be with him. And I believe that when we do that, we will be inspiring to others as well. Moses lived his calling, and others caught and followed it. Others caught and followed it. There is the need for next-gen leaders in all departments of our church, in all your career as well, in all your bossing around in your company. You need the next gen. So in conclusion, if the music team can come. Many people with great abilities have done many noble things. But to do what Moses did and to replicate himself for others to follow were very unheard of then during his time. Joshua and Caleb continued to fare well as leaders, as strong leaders. The chances for failure was very high and possible. But yet, with this kind of Moses type of servant leadership, it became successful. Though it took 40 years, though the first generation passed on, a new generation came up, and then it happened. And so the complex Apollo 11 mission was successful. But Moses' mission was successful long before even that. Long before there was this idea of reaching the moon. And so servant leadership is able to overcome the chance of failure. Is able to overcome the chances of failure. Moses type servant leadership was what we all need to develop in order the church of Jesus will thrive, will multiply, will accomplish great things today. And it works through all of us. If you are a believer, you are a leader by default. You are a leader in your own rights. And all of us have to rise up to that leadership role. God is calling us. God is calling us. So let us rise and let us lead and the way forward. A church will always be hampered if we do not take our responsibility and rise as leaders. And I believe it's also the same in your companies. If you do not lead, you go into a maintenance mood. And in a maintenance mood over time, your company will decline. And we learn in our leadership, in our class, we need to have the bridge of hope to move on. When we are at the peak of our performance, we need another impetus to move us on to the next peak. And it all takes us leadership to do that. We need to understand human beings in more details so that we can better be leaders. And as I speak to you as church members, all of you are leaders. You have a calling from God. You have a job to be done. You have a mission to fulfill. And you have to live that out. Learn from the servant leadership of Moses and be effective in leading people, in leading change. Let us rise. As the worship team leads us in a song,